And employment law tips and advice in association with the HRSuite.com.
And we're joined on the line by one of Ireland's leading HR experts, Caroline Reedy. Good morning to you, Caroline. Thank you so much for joining us. A listener has got in touch already to say a question for Caroline. He is supposed to help staff and management doing the hiring, and but he feels that people in his HR section are taking the side of management and not staff, and they have very little training, particularly in the public service. He says in the place where he works, you should be able to ideally air your grievances, but it's discouraged in this work environment. Would you have any suggestions for this person? It sounds like a very difficult place to work in.
It does. I suppose a few things. One is everywhere has a grievance procedure. We're obliged by law within 21 days of starting to give every employee a copy of the discipline and grievance procedure, and they get that as part of getting their contract, etc. But ultimately, I suppose it's down to the morale and the culture in any organisation in terms of somebody's ability to feel that they can speak up. So obviously in this environment, it is obviously a very negative one that person feels that they can't speak up. I mean, ultimately, if you're in an environment like that, it's a full employment market right now. Most employers are doing everything they can to retain their staff. So, I mean, if it's not going to change and if the person continues to feel like that, we spend an awful lot of time in the work environment. It's terrible to be in an environment that you feel, you know, really unhappy. So maybe it's time to think about a new job and a new organisation. And it's obviously going to be their loss to lose somebody really good. And for most employers listening, they're going to be thinking, God, I want to make sure that I keep my staff and don't have that kind of culture in place.
Are there really employers who are still this clueless when it comes to relations with staff and HR procedures?
I would say there's a small number still, Tressa, but most of those now have a very transient workforce. People come, they realise what it's like, and they're gone as fast as they come. So they're constantly rehiring new people, and they can't retain their good staff as a result. So, as you rightly said, there shouldn't be. You would think that they've learned the lessons along the way, but the old adage that people join organisations and leave managers is still true today as it was, you know, years and years ago when it was first invented.
Now, Caroline, you have a fascinating statistic here, or theory, and it seems to be based up by statistics, that as connectivity improves, as Wi-Fi, as broadband improves, all that, and other services, more and more young people will flee Dublin and come to places like Kerry.
Yeah, it's good news for the hubs that have been created around the country, and we've obviously lots of remote working options in Kerry, but a lot of people, the cost of living is becoming so much so that people are relocating to places like Kerry for the work-life balance, and would you blame them? I mean, you can obviously live and work in Kerry and work for any organisation now anywhere in the world if they give you the option of remote working. So it's a really positive option for people, and a lot more affordable in terms of housing availability, etc. So it's a win-win for both Kerry and for the people who would like to relocate and work here.
And use some figures that nearly 2% of people who moved from Dublin headed to this county.
Yeah, that's what the statistics tell us. And I think a lot of those people, Tressa, Kerry might have been their original base, or one of the two people in the couple. If a couple moved, Kerry was their original location where they're from, then they would have went abroad or to Dublin, etc., maybe for work. And during COVID, relocated home when remote working, etc., was an option. And they haven't relocated back. So a good news story all around. And I know I've definitely met a lot of people who have done exactly that absolutely love the quality of life down here, and also the schools, the housing, etc. Lots of big positives as a result.
And I know we have full employment, and that is great, but there are nonetheless concerns, particularly from the tech industry. High profile announcements of major job losses this week, and maybe people are starting to get a little bit worried in terms of how secure is my job given these recent announcements.
Absolutely. A lot of shock, I suppose, with the amount of flux that's happening in the tech industry. There's been huge amount of job losses and redundancies as a result. Even this week, again, more job announcements, and many of them are global headcount reductions that impact Ireland employees as well. I suppose we're lucky in Ireland. We have such a strong talent pipeline, but we also, I suppose, have limited opportunities for some people in specific industries. However, there is an influx of jobs in finance, pharma, etc. So a lot of those skills will be transferable and people will be able to take up employment there. But definitely we're hoping, I suppose, it's coming to an end. A lot of the companies are saying it's down to uncertainty in the market, you know, rising costs, etc. So hopefully we're not going to see too many more of those type of announcements, because it's definitely not good news.
When we come back, Caroline, I want to put a question that's come in for you. Somebody wants to know, you know, what are one's rights and entitlements, and what's the lie of the land when it comes to redundancy. Now, they don't say whether it's voluntary or involuntary redundancy, but if it's okay with you, we might go through that after these.
Human Resources and Employment Law Tips and Advice in association with the HRSuite.com.
And we're joined by Caroline Reedy, one of Ireland's leading experts on human resources and on the workplace and workplace issues that may arise. Caroline, before the break, I asked if we could talk through, just to get the lie of the land, about what people's rights are in relation to redundancy, voluntary redundancy and involuntary redundancy.
Absolutely. And I suppose a lot of people would be aware of the fact that a termination of employment, you always need to tread carefully to make sure it's managed correctly. And we have very strong, good protection for employees in Ireland to make sure that redundancies are a last resort. And if they have to happen, that they need to be done correctly and with following process and procedures. So
You just broke up there. If you want to take that back up again, just a few seconds back.
No bother. Thanks, Tressa. So I suppose the important thing always with redundancies is it is the position person that's made redundant. So the first thing would be to make sure
it's the position,
it's a specific job.
So it's the position. Position, it's not the person, it's the position, it's management. The company has to take a look and say, look, this the position, the role that this person is doing for us, it is no longer essential.
Exactly. So for example, maybe somebody's doing a reception job and they decide that they're not going to need a receptionist anymore. They're going to have an automatic entry system that doesn't need a receptionist. Let's just pretend. So it is that reception job that's not going to be replaced anymore. And then as a result of that, the position is going to be made redundant. And if that happens, Tressa, the position obviously can't be replaced, and the person is entitled to notice, and the notice that they're entitled to depends on how long they're there, and then they're entitled to redundancy payment, and they're paid 2 weeks per year of service plus a bonus week. So if the person is there 4 years, they get 9 weeks wages. And that's, I suppose, not a lot when the person then has to go and find a new role after that. And ultimately, that's the next step then in terms of the organisation trying to help that person in terms of the moving on, because it can be a big shock to the system if that happens. And it's important that the organisation do it with as much compassion as they can.
That's very interesting. So, and has it come up over the years that you've heard of situations where someone has been told your position is redundant, we're offering you redundancy, and then turned around and found out that, well, actually they just wanted to get rid of that person, it wasn't the role?
Well, if that did happen, Tressa, the person would be within their rights to take a case to the Workplace Relations Commission, and they would have a very, you know, strong case if it was a case that the position was replaced or indeed, you know, their role was continuing, because a lot of people, I suppose, are unclear about the fact that it's always the position that's made redundant, never the person.
And then talk us through voluntary redundancy.
So I suppose voluntary redundancy, Tressa, is quite similar. The only difference is the fact that you might have, say, 2 roles out of 10 that are being made redundant, and people are asked to volunteer if they would be interested in taking the redundancy package. And if 2 people apply out of the 10, they accept the voluntary redundancy. It's the same payments, etc. However, the only difference in that scenario is that they have volunteered rather than compulsory redundancy, where it's a case that the person is selected by the company.
And do the conditions still apply? That do you still get this the same amount of payments that you would if it was involuntary, or
exactly
do they differ?
The same.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. Sometimes organisations can add in, you know, enhanced redundancy payments above statutory, but that's completely voluntary for them to do that.
What's your assessment of the work situation or the work climate at the moment? You sound very confident, notwithstanding the high profile announcements of major job losses this week.
Yeah, I think we're lucky, Tressa. We've got a very strong talent pool in Ireland, and even though we're seeing tech companies, particularly at the moment, in the limelight where they are reducing headcount, in general, we have companies that are still growing, an awful lot of jobs, particularly in the IT sector still, financial sector and pharma sector as particular growth areas. We also have a lot of startups that are growing at a really good rate, and we're lucky, I suppose, that the majority of the people in Ireland who obviously are available for work we're now at a stage of full employment. There's, I suppose, strong terms and conditions linked to jobs to attract talent. So I think we're in a good place. And I suppose a lot of organisations now are very focused on retention interviews and, you know, making sure that there are good pay terms and conditions and a positive culture within the organisation to make sure that they retain their staff, because it's obviously such a big job going to recruit people if you need to.
And is it a good time to ask for a pay raise then?
Well, I think a lot of people will have got pay rises in the last 12 months. So if people haven't, it's definitely something that a lot of organisations are looking at. But I suppose it always depends on what is the base wage that somebody's on. Like, somebody could be on a very competitive salary and package. Therefore, that might be the top of the lead, you know, that league for that role. However, if benchmarked, that's not the case, it's definitely something worth exploring.
Thank you so much for joining us, Caroline Reedy, one of Ireland's leading HR experts of the HR Suite, answering your workplace questions there.